us. Like, this is Dudes Who Bet Sports. Dudes Who Bet Sports, it's your favorite show. Dudes Who Bet Sports, where degenerates go. Dudes Who Bet Sports, time to change your approach with Aaron Holtzman and his father, the coach. Let's ride.
Well, the Associated Press is full of shit.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Racing Dudes, and welcome back to the Dudes Who Bet Sports Show. We're back for a Thursday. Papa Dude, we got a lot going on today. Are you ready to roll?
This is my only show. How many have you been on?
This is my third.
Okay, well, you usually do four, or you have before.
Yeah, I didn't have to do Magic Mike.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready to roll. I'm exhausted, but I'm ready to roll.
All right. Well, Magic's insulting me over email right now, so I'm already mad before we get going. So.
Is he back home yet?
Who cares, right?
Good point.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do NFL first. We're going to get it out of the way, and then we're going to talk college football, and we're going to complain about things. Does that sound good?
I love it.
All right. I love it. Yeah, I knew you'd be all in on this one. So.
I'm getting new energy.
I love it. I love it. All right, Papa Dude. Well, you weren't on the morning show like you mentioned today, and boy, did you miss a good breakdown of this fine NFL game. The Patriots and the Steelers tonight, prime time of television here. Steelers are 5-point favorites. The total sits at 30.5.
Yeah, it does.
What are your thoughts?
The worst 7-5 team in the history of the sport.
Yep.
And maybe one of the worst 2-10 teams of the history of the sport, at least on one side of the ball.
Yep.
You know, when I looked at it this morning, I was thinking, okay, best bet. I was thinking, the more I think about it, I think I was thinking wrong. I was thinking 30.5. That's just too low. But now I'm getting to think, no, it's not. Because Patriots may not score, you know? And if they did, what have they scored the last 2 weeks? Like 7-0, I think.
Yep.
They lost 6-0 to the Chargers in what must have been the worst football game in the history of the world.
Yep.
Golly, 6-0. And the Steelers defense is decent, but they didn't play good last week. Gave up 24 to Arizona, another horrible offensive team. So 30.5, I think I'd go under. I don't think the Steelers cover. I don't. I think we're looking 16-13, 13-10, maybe. What do you think?
I think they're going to win like 20-7.
You think they'll score 20?
Yeah, I do. Or 17-7, something like that.
I don't know.
I went Steelers and I went under. I don't think it's going over that 30.5. I compared the Patriots to the Hawkeyes this morning, Iowa Hawkeyes, where it's just like they are Iowa of the NFL. They don't win. That's the only big difference. But offensively, they're Iowa. So,
oh, it's awful.
It's bad. And like I said, I'll go under the 30.5, and I will take I'll take the Steelers. But
you know what the difference is, though. The pros can go out and buy players. Well, of course, college can too now.
Right. Okay,
forget that. Scratch that. We'll get that. let's throw that all out the window.
Yeah, don't get ahead of ourselves. We're going to do that later. So, yeah. All right. Well, listen, we got that one over with. We'll go to another real,
exciting.
It's a big game, at least.
It is.
Buccaneers go on the road to take on the Falcons. If we kick off the Sunday portion of the NFL slate, Atlanta, 2.5-point favorite here, total sitting at 40.5. The winner is in first place in the division. I don't know if that's what that is really, but what's going to happen here in this one?
Who knows? Again, two inept teams. I can't get either one of them right. I did get Tampa last week. Atlanta, I can't get them right. I have no idea. I think they're terrible. But they're 6-6, and the Bucs are 5-7. That's pretty good in this league. Mm-hmm. 40.5, what do you think? You think that's too high?
It seems that's too high. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think we're looking, I don't know, 20-17, maybe max for both of those teams.
Yeah.
It can go either way. I'm going to go with Atlanta to win. And to cover.
Give me Tampa.
I hope you're right.
Give me Tampa. I think they're going to win. They've been in a lot of games. They've been really close. I think they're due to win. So give me Tampa. No, I mean due to win a close one. Due to win a real close one.
I think they won a close one last week, didn't they?
Well, that's true. They did. Okay. Well, listen, maybe they'll get beat. I don't know.
How about win one they're not supposed to?
Oh, that's fair. That's fair because they don't do that. So maybe this is the one.
There you go. Yeah.
It's 6 in one hand, half dozen the other with these two teams.
It is.
It really
They're
is.
Clones. They're clones of each other.
Yep. For sure. On Atlanta, I'm going to take Tampa. All right. Lions and the Bears. Oh, boy. Oddly enough, Lions are only a 3.5-point favorite. Of course, the Bears gave them a big scare last time they matched up. Lions need to keep winning. Bears, I don't know what they're really left to play for. Lions aren't playing very well. Do they go on the road and cover, or do the Bears rise up and cover?
Could this be the worst 9-3 team in the history of the sport?
I'm not ready to go there yet, but it's starting to look like maybe.
They're not great.
Mm-hmm.
For 9-3 in the NFL, you should be really good, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can beat them, including the Bears.
Yep.
Big game, like you say. They really need this. The Lions do. You know, to prove that these are the games that really good teams win, right? Yep. And you don't mess around.
Mm-hmm.
You don't win by 3.5 points. You mm-hmm. win by 8 or 9 or 10. So I'm not ready to say they are there, but the Bears are not very good. I think Detroit has too much to play for. I'm going the Lions.
Yeah, give me the Lions. I'll go Lions as well in this one. I think you're right on that one. I think they'll play a little bit better. All right, speaking of Lions, Tigers, and Bears, let's talk about the Bengals here. The Colts and the Bengals next. Boy, you know, Jake Browning looked pretty damn good last week in Jacksonville. Picked up a big win. Bengals are back somewhat alive now, but they got to take on the Colts. It's in Cincinnati. I feel pretty good about Cincinnati this week. What about you?
Me too. I do too. That was a gutty win. You got to hand it to them.
You do.
They gave up a ton of points, and you didn't think they could score any points.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think I had them in a parlay on the website as an under that mm-hmm. game, and it went way over.
Yeah.
And because the Bengals have been playing pretty good defensively, and they gave up a whole lot of points, and they didn't have their quarterback and came back and won that game. They could have easily folded their tents and lost that one, but they didn't. Shows you they haven't quit. Mm-hmm. Colts are due to lose. They are not a good 7-5 team. I'm with you. I'm going Bengals to win this one.
Bengals for me as well. I think I'm going to go pretty hard on this one. I like them -1.5. The Colts are playing pretty well. That's the scary part. But yeah. I think at home and they got a little bit things going for them now for Cincinnati. I think we're going to see a pretty good game out of them. I took the Bengals as well.
The thing is too for the wild card, they get a win. They're 7-6.
Yep.
That would even them up with Indy, which is a game ahead of them. They'd be 7-6. And then who is it? Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Houston are all sitting there at 7-5. Not exactly powerhouses.
No.
Especially let's look at this next one right here. One of these teams could go to 7-6 real easy.
Yeah, well, this is the big thing right here. Like you said, the Jaguars and the Browns, that's the next game here. The Browns are 3-point favorites here at home, despite their quarterback problems. However, the Jacksonville Jaguars have big quarterback problems as well as Lawrence is hurt. So it's beat hard versus or bait hard or whatever the hell ever he'll say his name against the Joe Flacco here in a match made in heaven. Obviously, look, that's a huge game.
It is.
Who comes out on top?
This is a monstrous game.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville's going to drop to 8-5 if they lose. Suddenly, their division lead is in jeopardy when they had a real safe lead, really needed that game the other night, didn't get it. And the Browns can bounce up into the top of the wild card with a win and go to 8-5. Huge win. It's at home. Look at that over-under. It's 31.5. Again, it's tempting to take the under with two teams that don't have their quarterbacks. I'm going to take the Browns to cover.
Yeah, Browns a lock, according to Dennis here as well. Yeah, same kind of thing. It's tough when you lose Lawrence. I mean, and you know, the Browns are used to playing with all kinds of different quarterbacks. Yeah. They've had like 12. Yeah. But I think that helps them in this situation. You know, Jags have got to do it without Lawrence. I'm with the Browns as well in this one. All right, let's keep it going. Oh, gosh. The Panthers are 1-11. They go on the road this week to take on the Saints in an all-time boring matchup. Saints 4.5-point mm-hmm. favorites. Who you got here? Another quarterback, by the way, Derek Carr, I don't think will play in this game.
I think New Orleans is going to win 4.5 though, without a quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to have to take the Panthers and the points, like, but there's no way I'm betting this. I hope on Red Zone, they just don't show any highlights of this game. They may not, because there may not be any highlights.
Yeah, they're not going to show it a lot, because you got to get in the Red Zone usually to be on that channel. And who knows, you know, this is, it's bad. Yeah. Dennis is our Saints fan. He's excited because they might win. I mean, I think they're going to win, but I don't know. 4.5. It's like, I'm staying away totally. Cause they're just, they're a train wreck.
We can have, this would really be exciting too. If Tampa can beat Atlanta and New Orleans win, yeah. We have a three-way tie for the division lead in the NFC South, and the whole country will be talking about.
Yeah, all three at 6-7. I'm sure that right. will dominate all the talk. It's clearly a great, great division. And if that happens, we'll have three teams at 6-7, and the other team in the division is 1-12. So obviously playing really good football there in the NFC South. All right.
Solid.
Speaking of really just a solid city for football, the city, New York City, has just had great football all year long. Let's talk about one of those teams now, the Jets, who are going back to Zach Wilson this week. They host the Texans. Texans are 3.5-point favorites. They need to just keep winning, these Houston Texans. Can they do it again in New York?
Big win last week over Denver. Good bounce back from losing the week before. That proves a little bit of something, I think. The Jets could be a letdown game. What do you think? It's possible.
Yep.
I'm going Houston to win.
All right. Yeah. Dennis is going to go with the Jets. So we'll see if he's right there. I'm going Houston as well. And, yeah, who knows? Maybe Zach Wilson will get a win. But, boy, it's just hard to pick the Jets. You look at that offense, it is just brutal week in and week out. And it's not getting any better, but it's probably actually getting worse. So, All right, this is a pretty good game here. I don't know that for sure. Actually, the Rams go on the road to take on the Ravens. The Rams are 6-6. I mean, they're kind of they're okay. The Ravens 9-3. They're trying to, you know, get up to that top seed. Don't know if they're gonna get there or not. Baltimore 7.5-point favorite here at home.
Aren't the Rams kind of playing on, aren't they like on a three-game winning streak?
Yeah, I still don't know that they're any good though.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not bad. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, and the Ravens are one of those kooky teams that you get behind them and boom, they lose. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go the Rams plus the points. I think the Ravens win though.
I'll take the Ravens. I just don't trust that Rams team just yet. We'll see though. You might be right there. All right. Well, this is what a brutal game. The Vikings, who are 6-6 somehow, take on the Raiders in Las Vegas. The Vikings, a 3-point favorite here.
They're trending downward. The Raiders don't trend at all. Mm-hmm. They're awful. Mm-hmm. But Minnesota is struggling so much. Didn't they have a week off? I think they might have.
They did, yeah.
All right, that's going to help them. Get some things straightened out. Get the ship going in the right direction, right? Right,
yeah, sure.
I'm going to go the Vikings because I like them. I'm going to go them to win.
I'll give me the Raiders. I think they'll beat them. I notice how
we're totally different on these because I don't have a clue on these NFL games. No clue.
I really don't either. And I'm intrigued by a couple here in this late window. Not that one as much, but maybe not this one so much either. Seahawks go on the road to take on the 49ers. Niners are 10.5-point favorites. They flexed their muscle big time.
Oh,
yeah. That was super impressive. Talking about the Niners in Philly.
Yeah.
They take on a Seahawks team that's wounded, but boy, they showed a lot of fight in Dallas. Tough draw here though for the Seahawks. What do you think?
Terribly tough.
Yeah.
Will the Niners have a letdown? I think it's possible. That was a huge statement game for them. And now, you know, they've got a shot at that number one seed, a real shot. But they could let down a little bit this week. It's logical that they will. This is the Seahawks are gasping for air. How much did that take out of them?
I don't know.
As well as they did in Dallas.
That was a great game. Goodness,
I think 10.5 is a little too much with the 49ers coming off a tremendous win against the Eagles. I'm going to take them obviously to win, but I'm going to go with the Seahawks at plus 10.5.
Well, we're going to, you, Dennis, and I, all three going to be on it. I'm going to go see Seahawks plus 10.5 as well. So we'll see how that works out for us.
Yep.
But I mean, I think it's too many points. I think the 49ers would be a little flat. Seahawks, this is a last gasp. So I'll take the Seahawks. Okay. I thought this line was really interesting. Buffalo goes on the road to take on Kansas City. Kansas City, just a 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
Basically, what that means is, and this is just Vegas's thoughts, if they played on a neutral field, the Bills would be favored in the game. Home field usually counts for 3.5 points in the NFL. I was really alarmed by that. The Chiefs have not been good. What do you think? Bills are kind of like the Seattle. They really need to win the game.
Yeah, this is shocking to me. 1.5 at home against a Bills team that's not been very good. I think there's more going on in Kansas City than what we see. I think they're out of control, first of all. I think they got some guys that are out of control.
That's possible.
Everybody around here is bitching about the non-calls. Nobody's bitching about their running back punching a guy. Right. And getting a 15-yard penalty on that play.
Well, I think with him specifically, you watch the Chiefs, you go, gosh, why is this guy not playing more? Right. I would say, reading between the lines, he is a little bit of a problem.
I think he is.
Talking about Pacheco. Yeah.
Yes, that's an issue. Nobody's talking about Mahomes getting hit on the sidelines, and that was not a roughing penalty. Nobody's bitching about that around here. All they're griping about is the other one. And that was a pass interference penalty. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But the one in the end zone at the end of the game was not pass interference.
No.
It's a bunch of guys jumping for the ball, and you cannot call an interference penalty on that one.
No.
The bottom line is, Kansas City, if you're any good and you didn't beat Green Bay, that's your fault. That's not the official. So if you're going to blame the – by the way, Travis Kelce did not blame the officials. He said, we ain't got nobody to blame but ourselves. That's pretty good leadership there. I don't know what Mahomes has said. Back to this, though. They got some problems in Kansas City.
Yep.
I don't know if anyone in the AFC is good enough to beat them if they get home advantage. Now, if they don't, they're very vulnerable. Last gasp for the Bills, like you said, maybe. I don't know what the rest of their schedule is. Because, again, they're one of those teams that's in the hunt for a playoff wild card. If they get this one, wow, what a boost. You know, they play pretty well up there, but they don't win.
Well, they in the regular season they have.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all about your faith in the Chiefs. Do they bounce back? I think they do. I'm not high on the Bills, so I'm going to go the Chiefs to win.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm going to go the Chiefs to win as well. I don't, and it's more of I just don't trust the Bills.
I don't either.
They played pretty well in Philly. I'll say this. If they play that type of game in Kansas City, I think they're going to win.
Yeah, I do too.
But the flip side of it is they blew that game, you know? Yeah. They should have won. So I don't trust them enough. I'm going to take the Chiefs. The Chiefs really need to win this game, so – I'll take Kansas City in this one. I thought this this game was very interesting next. Maybe not from the purposes of two really good teams, but the Broncos go on the road to take on the Chargers. We know the Chargers are a train wreck. The Broncos were, now they're not. They lost a tough game. They've got to bounce back and win this week if they want to kind of stay with a chance at the playoffs. They're 3-point underdogs. The Chargers are 3-point favorites here. Who are you going with?
They got to win if they're going to make the as a wild card. They have to win. This is a team they have to beat. I don't think they're as good as the Chargers talent wise, but this is a game. There'll be more Denver fans there for sure. So it'll be a home game on the road, if you get my drift. I think they're going to win. I'm going to take the Broncos in an upset over the Chargers.
Me too. I went the Broncos as well. I think they'll find a way to beat them more the Chargers will find a way to lose. Yeah. Give me the Broncos. I think it's a huge game for them. I think they'll play well. I think they'll win. All right, game of the week, without any doubt. The Eagles on the road to take on the Cowboys. Cowboys, 3.5-point favorites in this one. Boy, the Eagles might lose two in a row, and all of a sudden it's a tie up there atop the division. Or the Eagles could win and maybe knock Dallas out of any chance of winning the division. Well, all right, Cowboys have been great at home. They've been great on offense. What do you think about this week?
This is their big chance. They blow it a lot. Really looking forward to this.
Me too.
It's going to be a good one. These two teams are kind of fun to watch. Anyway, regardless of what you think about Dallas, they're interesting. You know, they're kind of fun to watch.
Well, I think offensively they're exciting, and Dallas definitely is that team that you either love them or you hate them. So, and if you hate something, you want to root against them. So it does make for entertaining TV.
Oh, they are interesting to watch.
Yeah,
I think this is a statement game for the Eagles because, like we've said all year, they've been begging to lose. They've been winning a lot of close games, and they got killed at home last week. They got to bounce back. Don't you think? This is big for them.
Huge game. Yep.
Yeah. They'll be 10-3 if they lose. Mm-hmm. I think the Niners would have the advantage because they beat them head-to-head, right? Mm-hmm. So they would suddenly not be in first place in the NFC.
Yep.
They also would be tied for the division with Dallas and could eventually maybe fall out of a division championship, drift down into the wild card. Huge game. Dallas is favored
at
3.5. I find that interesting as well. I didn't like the way Philly played defensively the other night. Dallas can score. I ain't picking Dallas. I'm going Eagles plus 3.5.
I went the Eagles plus 3.5. I think Dallas might win, but that half point, I think, makes a big difference. Yep. This has field goal game written all over it. So give me the team that's getting the points. Eagles. Plus 3.5. All right, Monday night, we've got two games. Not really sure why we're doing that, but let's talk about the first one here. Titans go on the road to take on the Dolphins. Dolphins are 13-point favorites. This kind of seems like a no-brainer to take the Dolphins, but can they cover 13?
I don't know. Why are we having two games at the same time?
Yeah, I don't know. This was odd.
I don't get this at all. Maybe
I don't either.
Knows.
I don't get it. You know.
Yeah, one of them's on ESPN and the others on ABC, and ABC owns ESPN.
You know, and sometimes they'll do these two games on a Monday, but one starts at 6:15 and the other one starts at 9:15 or something.
I don't understand this at all.
I don't either.
Are they trying to boost ESPN Plus maybe because you can get it on that as well?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know.
Really weird.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are much better than the Titans. Are the Dolphins the best team in the AFC?
I mean, I don't think so, but no, record-wise, they are.
I don't think they beat a team with a winning record yet, but there aren't very many that have a winning record, if you've noticed. So.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. 13. What's Tennessee got left to play for?
Nothing. Yeah.
If a team is ever going to cover 13, I think it's Miami this week.
I agree. I took Miami in this game, but yeah, it's just not much to break down. It's just, okay, they're going to win the game. Can they cover the 13? I think they can, but there's probably better games to bet, like this one maybe. So the other game on Monday night, the Packers go to the Giants. What are you going to say here? Green Bay, 6.5-point favorite. They have looked much, much better. Yes. In my opinion, this should be an easy cover for them. The Giants, not good at all. 6.5 is not a ton of points. What do you think about this one?
Did you see that they put the Packers schedule up the other night if they could win that game, what their schedule is? It is a cakewalk.
Yes. Yep.
That game was so big for them to win.
Yes.
And now they play teams they can I shouldn't say a cakewalk because no, it's not a cakewalk when you're not very good and the Packers are just average, but their record and the way they're playing is better than a lot of the teams they're going to have coming up, and this is one of them. So the question is this: they've been winning games when they weren't supposed to. Now they got a little pressure on them. You know, can they go in there and win when they're supposed to? That sometimes when a team's not real good, they slip up. This might be the week it happens, but I don't think the Giants are good enough. I don't know if they cover. I think they're going to go in there and get the job done. If I was going to bet them, I'd bet them to cover.
Yeah, I'm going to take Green Bay. I think they get the job done. I think it is a combination of they're getting a little bit better. We put the reverse jinx on Love. We said he sucked, and he's been good the last 2 weeks. And that is a real thing that we can do to teams and players and coaches. So I think the players see the schedule just like you and I saw the schedule last Sunday night. They said, look, we got to get focused every single week. Yeah, we're still kind of behind the eight ball. We can win all these games and make the playoffs. And the way the Lions are kind of, I don't think they can catch them, but in that locker room, they got to be thinking, hey, there's a chance we can still catch them. So
they play them again, don't they?
I believe so. Yeah. So I think Green Bay gets it done here. I think they're going to cover. I think they're going to play really well. And
when you look at the NFC, mm-hmm. other than right now, Dallas would be a wild card team. When you look, you got Green Bay, Minnesota, Seattle. I can't read my writing. Who is that? Anyway, they're all 6-6. Mm-hmm. They're all 6-6. Mm-hmm. They get this win. They're right there.
They've got the best setup, and they're the Packers, and that does mean something, whether you want to think it or not. The uniform can win games for you. I think, and again, I said last week, I think on Thanksgiving Day, Packers, Lions, Packers were going to win. They're the Packers, you know, and right. I do think it means something. So anyway, they're set up pretty well. One bonus game. There is one more college football game to the regular season. It is maybe the greatest rivalry of all. Army-Navy. This year, both teams are 5-6. Army is a 3-point favorite. And you talk about over-unders, 27.5. This thing is always very low. A fun fact, this thing had went under for years and years and years until last year. It went over. However, why did it go over? The game went into overtime. Yeah. So it went over. It just
barely went over, too.
Yes. Army-Navy, who you got?
Two teams that play identical.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hard to score.
Yep.
And neither one of them can throw it. So if you stop the option, you've stopped them. And they're identical. And this year they're coming in with identical records. And this is truly a game that if you just like to watch two teams go at it and give it everything they've got, you know, this one's always kind of fun to watch. It really is.
No doubt.
It rarely ever means anything. Except to the two teams.
Right.
And talk about playing for pride and all that. 27.5. I can't see it. I just think that may be too low. I think maybe, I don't know, 17-10 would get it, wouldn't it?
Well, 17-10, you'd be under still.
Yeah, you'd be under. That would get it if you wanted to go under.
Right. Yeah.
17-10 is realistic. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's still kind of iffy on mm-hmm. that, you know. I'm going to pick Navy.
Ooh. All
right. I've always rooted for Navy because my dad was in the Navy.
Yep.
So he rooted for Navy, and that's the only reason I would root for him. And he used to root hard for him because he didn't like Army.
Yep.
So I always root for Navy in the game. So I'm going to go with Navy to win.
All right. Navy for you. I apologize to Granddad there, but I'm going to go Army. I think Army has the better team. I remember I was fairly little when he passed away, but I remember he would always root for Navy in this game. Yeah. So, I do remember that. But I got to go with who I think is going to win. And I'm kind of with Rob. I absolutely love watching Army, Navy, Air Force play. Oh, yeah. I like that old triple option. I just love to watch it. When I was growing up in high school, we had a legendary coach in high school. That's all he ran was a triple option. So mm-hmm. it was certainly we know all about it. And of course, mm-hmm. you growing up Oklahoma fan, you know about the triple option. So I enjoy it. I have watched Army a little bit. I do agree with Rob. He's pretty darn good quarterback for what they've got. I think Army gets it done here. I will watch every second of this game. I always do. I love this game.
Well, I'll give away my age a little bit here. The very first Army-Navy game I remember, Roger Staubach was the quarterback for Navy. And I think they got beat that day in a big upset by Army. Yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah. Listen, it's a fun game. Dennis said the game's so fun. It really is. And you said it in the grand scheme of college football. Yeah. It doesn't mean everything, but it means everything to these two schools and to the people that root are on both sides of it. So
yeah. And if it's going to be fun. If you're the coach of Army or Navy, that's a game you got to win. There's just as much pressure on them to win that game as it is Oklahoma, Texas, or whatever you want to, Michigan, Ohio State, whatever you want to throw out there. They don't really care about the other ones, but you better win your share of this one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. It'll be a fun game. I can't wait for it. What time? It's at 2 o'clock. It usually starts at 2, and yeah, it starts at 2 o'clock Central Time, so we'll check that one out for sure. All right, any final thoughts on anything going on? Besides, no college football. We'll go to that here in a second. But anything else you want to talk about before we go to college football?
In NFL, no.
Well, just in, like NBA, NHL. You got any kind of thoughts or?
College basketball. I've been kind of keeping up with that. Man, there's been some really good games in college basketball. We're going to turn our attention to that here before long. The NBA, it's like you were saying last week, even though they've got a fourth of the season done, it's still a little bit too early to tell in hockey. By the way, I can't get anything right in hockey. I pick them every night. They're so hard to get.
Yeah.
And, teams are inconsistent, still got the Bostons and the Vegas and the Rangers. You better go ahead and pick them because they're as consistent as anybody. Florida's playing really well. I think it's shaping up for a great run. Mm-hmm. NBA, let me think. Oklahoma City is fun to watch. Minnesota, Timberwolves. I think they're like 16-4, 15-4, something like that. They're playing great. Mm-hmm. Boston's playing good again. Philly, Milwaukee. The Lakers are playing decent. So it's going to be fun, too, if you're an NBA fan. Orlando is playing extremely well. Then you do have teams like the Spurs. What has happened to the Spurs?
Yeah, still not very good. No.
They can't beat anybody. And the Pistons, oh, my God. The Pistons are awful. I think they're 2-19.
Yeah, they're so bad. Yeah,
and the Wizards are just pathetic. Mm-hmm. And Rob mentioned Indiana. All they can do is score. And they are in the 120s almost every night, but they're giving up 120, 130.
Yeah, he mentioned them. If you want to play overs, that's one team to play. Yeah.
Pacers. So. Yeah, the league, it's going to be good. Like I say, I followed a lot closer to the NBA than I ever have before. I'm doing pretty good getting those, but, man, the NHL is killing me.
Yeah, NHL's tough right now. A lot of inconsistent teams out there. And I think that's kind of what you alluded to. We're still about 3 weeks away from getting a real good feel of who everybody is there in the NHL. Very, very competitive this year, for sure.
There's really in college basketball right now, I don't know that there's any real surprises yet. The Blue Bloods are holding serve, except for Duke. Duke's struggling. Mm-hmm. Kentucky got upset. I'm sure Dennis, that broke his heart the other night.
Yeah.
I think it was UNC Greensboro or somebody went in there and beat him. That was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Houston looks great. The Big 12 Conference is loaded. Big 10 is too. So anyway, it's going to be fun.
Yep. Going to be a lot of fun. Polly asked when the Derby Trail starts. It kind of sort of has already started, but it really gets going January 1st. The Jerome Stakes up at Aqueduct, the Smarty Jones Stakes at Oaklawn Park. So those two things definitely will kind of kick off the Derby Trail. Wood Memorial, Wood Memorial will be first weekend in April, I believe, this year. So ready for that. Oaklawn Park kicking off this weekend.
Tomorrow.
What do you think about that?
Just sneaks up on us because we're not used, even though this is the third year that it started in December, we're still not used to that. I'm not. It just kind of sneaks up on you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Good weather, I think.
Yeah, very good. Very
good. Yeah, it's fairly warm here today, and it's usually about 10 degrees warmer down there. Mm-hmm. So that's a lucky beginning for them if it doesn't rain.
Yeah. Absolutely. Can't wait. Can't wait for that tomorrow.
It's always great to see that paddock the first time, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. About 15, 20 minutes for that first race to see the paddock, and you know you're back home. And in many ways for you and I and Jared as well, that's home. I mean, that Oaklawn Park is home. And
it all started.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be here without it. That's for sure. So,
and if you're a true horse racing fan and you've never been there, and you have the means to do it, don't pass it up. You're going to love every minute of it. It's just an awesome place. It's, you've been everywhere, and you say it's the closest thing to Saratoga, right?
Yeah, for sure. And if you've been to Saratoga, go to Oaklawn. You don't have that pristine feeling. The town isn't like that, but the town is like Saratoga Springs, and the fact that it's just so much fun. So much fun.
And another good thing is it doesn't cost you $500 a night to stay in Hot Springs.
No. You can stay down there for $100, $150, $200 at the most. You want to get a real nice place. You can Airbnb it as well. It doesn't cost that much. So Hot Springs and Saratoga Springs are a ton alike in a lot of ways. The track is they're a lot alike, the way they operate, the way they do things. If you like Saratoga, you've never been to Oaklawn, it's basically Saratoga in the winter, you know, and it's not quite as fancy, I think is the word to use. But Oaklawn and Hot Springs in general, they've got their fair share of really, really fun places to go after the races, just like Saratoga. So it's a great place. Yeah, definitely pencil it in. And as Paulie says there, and you know, I think, wait till March or April if you're going to make one trip out of it. You know, Arkansas Derby weekend or even after the Arkansas Derby now. Really great weather, too.
And they've got the big-time horses there. Mm-hmm. A lot of Kentucky Derby winners have prepped at Oaklawn. Tons of them. So I would wait, too, till middle of March before I would go, because it tends to get a little cold and rainy in February and March. And you just, if you hit it bad with the weather, it's not very good.
It's not as fun. Yeah. Now you do have a lot of indoor seating, but it also, you want to be Oaklawn. You kind of want to be outside. It's really cool to be outside. The best weekends we've ever had, in my opinion, were that when the Rebel used to be ran on the third weekend in March. That third weekend in March, you'd go down there and it'd still be cold up here. Mm-hmm. You'd go down there and it's like, oh man, it's getting nice. It's almost here. You know, I can remember that a lot. And I can also remember we were there in January and we couldn't see the backside because it was snowing so hard.
That was at the Southwest in February.
Oh, sorry. That was February. You're right. That was
on President's Day.
That's right. Yes. As the third weekend in February. Yeah. We couldn't see the backside.
Oh, God.
And I also remember I was there for the Southwest with Jared, and I think Heather was with us, and we got snowed in. Snow and ice, and they canceled it, and we drove like 20 miles an hour almost all the way home. It was a mess. I mean, go March, go April if you're going to do it. So, Rodney says his great aunt lives in Little Rock. That's about 45 minutes from Oaklawn, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times I'll stay in Little Rock and drive down.
So go visit her and then come on down to the track. We were there. Shoddy says Oaklawn is love. Oaklawn is life. That's an Arkansas native there. Yep. So, for sure. All right. Well, do you want to talk about college football?
Sure.
All right. So if you didn't watch us, we were live when they announced it. We were live for the Dudes Who Bet Daily show. And a lot of you were probably with us. We had a spirited debate, but with the chat, all good. We're removed 4 or 5 days from it now. Like any change in your thought process or still, none. This is just a travesty. What's happened?
None. No change at all.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know that we need to get into it, but I haven't changed a bit. I think Florida State got screwed. I don't care what anybody says. They're not one of the four best teams. How do you know? How do you freaking know?
Well, let's start with this, because I've thought about this. And I really don't think the quarterback being out had anything to do with it. Do you want to know?
I don't think so either. No.
Okay. My theory on it is this. I believe it all had to do with the SEC. If Georgia would have beaten Alabama, I think Florida State would have been 4 and Texas would have been 5.
Your theory is based on we had to get the SEC in there, right?
Yep.
And if you took Alabama, you have to take Texas.
Yep.
Because Texas beat Alabama in the regular season.
Yep.
Right? I think you're right. I think that's probably what it came down to. But my question to the committee would have been, Texas lost to Oklahoma. Doesn't that mean anything? When you have an undefeated team, I know their quarterback is hurt. He ain't the guy that played the other night. That's another thing. I never hear anybody say anything about this. The guy who played the other night was bad. He's a third teamer. He ain't playing in the playoffs. The second teamer will be back. He's better.
Yep.
He'll have a month to prepare as the main guy. Nobody said anything about that. None of these smart asses on ESPN. Nobody said anything that I heard.
At the end of the day, it was all about we're not leaving the SEC out, period.
No.
It's not happening. I 100 million billion percent believe if Georgia would have won, it would have been Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Washington 3, Florida State 4.
Yeah.
Even though Texas is ahead, Texas jumped to 3 and Florida State was 5 in the end. I think it was just all about, well, we'll jump Texas to 3 and we have to include the SEC. So that'll be the 4th team.
And the other thing, too, that makes this valid point, why? Okay, Florida State lost their quarterback, what, 3 weeks ago? They never dropped below Texas.
Yep.
They stayed at number 4.
Yep.
And that's number 4 in this committee's ranking. This isn't the AP poll or the coaches poll. It's the college football playoff poll, right? They stayed at number 4. They won 2 games without their quarterback, which is pretty damned impressive.
Yeah, and just I just want to, you keep going for a second, but I want to stop you right there because I've got a buddy that he's a subscriber to the site. We've come friends over email, and he was emailing me, and he goes, where have we lost the fact that they were able to win their team as a team? They were good enough to win with no quarterback the last 2 games. You know, he's like, why, how is this all about one? Like their defense was incredible the 2 games. And, you know, they were able to win despite this. Shouldn't that count for something?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it definitely should. And they won all their games. And that's very hard to do. And it's just, I just don't think there's an answer that's right that keeps them out of the playoffs. I just don't think there is. And who's to say they can't beat Michigan?
Yeah.
I don't think Michigan was very impressive the other night.
No, no.
And Florida State's defense can shut down Michigan.
Yep. Yep.
Especially if they have their second string quarterback who's going to get all of the reps. We'll have a full month. And they'll have a month to prepare with him that will be able to come up with a little bit more offense than Iowa can.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
But they don't have a chance because of the SEC having to get their champion in there.
Well, and the other thing about this, a lot of people in the chat on Sunday, we're going, you guys are crazy. They picked the 4 best teams. All those people that were saying that, I don't really think they believe that. And here's the test. If Georgia played Michigan, Washington, Texas, we won't say Alabama, but the other 3, all people, well, not all, but a lot of people would pick Georgia to beat those.
They would be favored over all 3 of them.
And they honestly, in a rematch with Alabama, they might even be favored still.
Oh, they would.
So I don't think the 4 best teams are in it, to be completely honest. So I don't think that's accurate either.
No, it's not. But guess what? Thank God we're not going to have to worry about this next year.
And that's the long and short of it. I've talked and talked with people, and that at the end of every conversation I've had with people, they're like, the bottom line is, thank God we don't have to mess with this anymore.
No, it's wrong. Yeah. Which gets us into another big thing that we kind of got into about, you know, somebody said, well, it's too much for these kids to play all of these games in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, that's crazy.
Well, it's not too much for the division below them, the FCS.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah. It's not too much for Division II.
No.
Or Division III.
Yeah.
And guess what? Those kids are getting no NIL money. They're playing just as many games
mm-hmm.
as these spoiled, rotten brats. They're getting paid all this money, and is it's too much for them? Come on.
Yeah.
They're professional athletes, folks. That's what they are. That's what.
Well, and if you want to transition into that, it is becoming more and more clear that the big bucks are out there for these guys. So many people entering the portal. The quarterbacks, holy cow, a ton of quarterbacks entering the portal, including Dylan Gabriel, who's right now the number one free agent in college football is Dylan Gabriel. Mm-hmm. What a weird situation teams are in right now.
Yep.
Here's the situation, and this is going on a lot of places, but Oklahoma is kind of where it's the most prevalent right now. Oklahoma's a quarterback is a five-star true freshman who is the future, you know, that they've thought, okay, this is our next guy, whether he pans out or not, who knows, but that's what he's been labeled. So much so that Dylan Gabriel's got to go somewhere else because you can't really pay both of them.
That seems to be the picture, yes.
And it's crazy to think that Oklahoma can't pay Dylan Gabriel enough. Dylan Gabriel's iffy about an NFL quarterback. Maybe he makes a roster. Maybe he doesn't. No, who knows what happens? It's hard to picture that. But he's in a situation where you can't really blame Dylan for leaving and chasing the money. This is his best opportunity, in my opinion, to make a ton of money right now.
Exactly.
It's a weird – what are your thoughts on all this? It's weird.
Well, okay. I don't know if you've heard, but Dylan came out and said – he was going to graduate. His plans were to graduate from Oklahoma, which I think he will.
Yeah.
And then away his future in the pros. He was going to go into the draft. He was correct. Done with college football.
Yeah.
So he started calling some NFL scouts, and I'm sure his coaches down there helped him out. And he's probably got an agent. Mm-hmm. All these guys probably have agents. So the agent starts calling. Anyway. He was told that he's not rated that highly on the draft boards. Not only that, he didn't even get invited to the Senior Bowl.
See,
and these I can't figure that one out, but
I can't figure that out either. But this is where the problems start to brew. And there's a lot of Gabriel type guys out there
that
work really well in college at the NFL. They just don't project very well.
Undersized,
not the strongest arm.
No. And he doesn't have electric speed.
Right.
Like Kyler Murray,
right?
For example, he doesn't have that speed.
Yep.
So he was probably, I'm just guessing, a sixth round pick, maybe fifth or sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he probably would make a team, make a roster, because if you see the shit that's on the rosters this year, I think Dylan Gabriel's as good as some of them. I don't know, but I think he is. But the agent came back to him and said, you ain't going to get any money. You're not going to get much, and you may not make the team. But I can send you to Oregon. They're needing a quarterback. We'll get you $3 million if you go play another year.
Yeah.
So then he goes back to Oklahoma and says, hey, guys, I can get three to go to Oregon. I'm not saying this happened, but I'm just thinking it might have. And they go, Dylan, we'd love to have you back, but we got this five-star here who's our future, and if you stay, he's gone.
Yep.
Out the door.
Yep.
Because he's already sat out a year. He was the second-team guy this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're between a rock and a hard spot. Now, if that's what happened, and I don't know, Dylan might have said he was through at Oklahoma and he was wanting to go somewhere else. But he's also come out and said it's the best thing that ever happened to him is going to Oklahoma. If it's the best thing that ever happened to him, why wouldn't he stay if he's going to play another year? That doesn't make any sense, does it?
I think it does.
You do? To leave?
You have to – listen, it comes down to this. If I could stay here at Oklahoma and make $1 million
– Well, I'm saying what that's exactly what happened. They didn't offer him as much as somebody else is going to.
That's the problem. And for him specifically, it's a huge problem.
It is.
Because this is it. If they're telling him he's not going to get drafted very highly, and he may not make a team – all of a sudden, 2024 becomes the greatest earning potential of your life.
Yes.
So you got to take it.
He has to take it because he may never make $3 million in the NFL.
It becomes a situation where, sure, he probably does love Oklahoma. I'm not questioning that he doesn't, but he can't do it. No. And Oklahoma can't really bring him back.
No.
That's the other problem, because if you bring Gabriel back and put all your eggs in that basket and the other kid leaves, you are in huge trouble when Dylan graduates. So it's like,
well, yeah.
What are you supposed to do?
Jackson Arnold is the other kid we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an agent. So suddenly the head coach is a general manager and a coach of a college football team, because here comes the agents. Hey, listen, you bring Dylan back, we're going to demand this for Jackson. And there's no telling what he's making already anyway. And he hadn't played but what, 4 games?
Yeah.
And then not only that, they have 2 hotshot quarterbacks coming in with this class. Gabriel comes back, what happens to them? It's a joke, folks. It's a joke.
It's a huge problem, and they've got to get some sort of structure to it. I don't know what the answer is, but they have to.
Go to your next point that you were wanting to bring up. The colleges are not paying this money.
Right. Yeah.
So they don't care.
Right.
What do they care?
Right.
It's dumbbells, donors, rich people. Not all of them are rich, that are giving the universities this money to pay these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you that stupid? Yeah. I just don't know.
I don't either. I don't either. And that's the other fascinating thing to me, where they're getting the money, why these people care so much to do this. I don't know. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So I, as a fan, you know, I was texting a few people, including you, when Dylan Gabriel went into the portal, and it's like, and this is not just an Oklahoma problem. This happened everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
As a fan, you sit there and go, this sucks, because I've grown to like him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really think he wants to leave.
No.
But I don't think Oklahoma can bring him back.
No.
And so now he's gone
mm-hmm.
to another team like Oregon. Who could be competition, maybe, maybe not. We'll see. But now you have to sit there and watch a kid that would probably just rather be at Oklahoma, but now he's at Oregon. And I got to watch this kid that wanted to come back. We couldn't bring him back. He had to leave for the money.
No choice.
From a player standpoint, it's great. And that's good for sure. From a fan standpoint, it sucks. And look, the biggest joke of all of this is the NIL and these colleges begging for money everywhere. They literally have been stealing from kids for 100 years. I mean, they have made so much money off kids and never had to pay them a dime.
Right.
But yet they still are crying. Well, if you want a lot of teams will say, well, I mean, guys, if you want a good player, you got to pony up the money to go get them. And it's just like the school. What about the school? Like, why can't they pony up the money to go get them?
I know.
So it's the system is crazy. The NFL really needs to take over this part of it. They really do. Because then you could structure it where it would make sense.
There needs to be some sort of a cap on how much you can raise, how much money you come up with. And it's got to be equal for everybody.
Yeah, everybody has a fund of X amount of dollars. And you spread out those dollars the best you can.
Yeah, you spend it the way you see fit, but you aren't getting any more.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man. It's a weird deal.
Guys, it's got to change because it's going to run. It's already ruining it. Dennis is saying, what about the bowls? The bowls mean nothing anymore. You don't know how to pick them. You don't know who's going to play.
Yeah.
You know, that was unheard of back in the days, which again tells us, you know, that's been one of the excuses why we can't change the playoff system. It'll mess up the bowls. The bowls are so messed up now, nobody cares. If you're not in those playoff games, nobody cares.
Yeah, that's the big problem too with the bowl games. And I love college football bowls. I love them. But you watch them now and it's like they're not as fun because now the big ones still are, some of them. But yeah, it's just like, you know, Caleb Williams isn't going to play, sure. But, you know, you would get a couple. Now, like every team's got five or six guys. And you look at this Oklahoma team. And again, I just talk about them because we know, you know, who's out for us. Mm-hmm. We're not even going to look like the team we watched the first 12 games. I mean, we have a true freshman at quarterback. I don't know who's going to play linebacker because our linebacker's leaving for the NFL. We got all kinds of players.
He has said he's leaving.
Yeah, Danny Sussman's out. He's gone.
He ain't going to get drafted. That was stupid. Who in the world gave him that kind of advice?
That's kind of what you guys are saying, but he's going to leave. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
How many slow white guys are playing linebacker in the NFL?
Not many.
I can't think of any.
He's not the NFL prototype, that's for sure.
He's small. And
my criticism has always been he's too slow and he's too small to be an NFL player. And
how about this? He's hurt all the time, too.
Yeah.
He's got something wrong with him all the time.
All the time. So, and they kind of, some of the OU people are like, I don't think he has enough on film to be leaving this year, but he's leaving. So, yeah. So, yeah, the bowl games really suck now, and that sucks, too. I mean, I'll still watch them, but it sucks. So, anyway.
Something's got to change, and there's just so many. There's so much wrong. You know, it's just turned in. I don't enjoy college. I still love to watch the games. Mm-hmm. I try to put all this in the background of my mind because they're still really, really fun to watch. Yeah. You know, they're exciting games. So you try to put all of this money and stuff in the back of your mind because the product is so fun to watch.
I think the biggest thing that we have to adjust is we get these guys from when the season starts to when it's over, but don't count on any of them to be back. And that's not to say none of them will be back, but you can't – you really – the days of like getting attached to players is not a thing anymore. Yeah. Right.
No,
it's just not. So
no. And they're just, let's face it. They're professional athletes. That's what they are.
But you know, even professional athletes, I think they are for sure. For sure. I 100%. That's all. That's what it is. But I think the difference is with a professional athlete, you know, you're like, they sign a contract. And so, you know, hey, I'm going to have this, I'm going to be able to cheer for this person for 3 years or 4 years or 2 years. Right.
Maybe we're going to have to go to that in college.
Maybe, you're still going, but the problem is you're going back to where you were. And I don't think they'll do that. But my point is in the pros, like Ryan O'Reilly, for example, when we got Ryan O'Reilly for the Blues, we knew we had him 5 years unless we just had to trade him for whatever reason. But you know those guys are going to be there. And they may resign, they may not. But with college now, you just don't know. Like, you tell me after the Texas game, somebody says, well, enjoy Dylan for six more games because he's leaving. I'd be like, well, yeah, he's going to the NFL. They go, no, he's going to play for Oregon next year. Yeah. I'd be like, what?
That's what hurts. That's what hurts.
And it's tough for guys like Brent Venables and really all coaches.
Oh, it's awful.
It's easier to get guys, but what Venables really tries to, and what all real good coaches try to, hey, we're a family. We're together. We got to do this together. We need togetherness. How can you build that culture when it doesn't, how can it, that doesn't exist? Like, here's the leader of my football team, and he's leaving for Oregon, and he's been the leading unit for our leading our unit on offense to a 10-2 season.
Yeah.
So
I'm like you. I don't think they had a choice. I think they had.
They did either.
Let's see what you can make, Dylan. We can't pay all you guys, you know. Yep. And that's kind of like a salary cap in a way in the pros. This is just and Dennis is right. Teams that have here's the thing: why you got to make it equal? You got some schools that can generate a heck of a lot more money than other schools can,
right?
And so the rich are just going to get richer, and you know, this is what the whole irony of all this. This is exactly what the NCAA tried to prevent for years and years and years and years and years. We went to, they used to have unlimited scholarships where you could give away as many scholarships as you wanted to. Well, what the big boys were doing, they were signing every dadgum kid they could get.
Yeah.
And then they went to limited scholarships where everybody had the same amount. Why? Because the rich were getting richer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they tried to police cheating and all that stuff. And you know, some of it was going on, obviously.
Yeah.
And now there's no such thing as cheating. You do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want.
And again, I think the answer is in the middle. You need to be able to pay these guys. You just have to. I'm sorry. You can't go back to not paying them. However, there's got to be some boundaries on it. And
there has to.
And Dennis is right. And again, it's a situation. If somebody offers you a huge amount of money and your pro prospects are like this, you have to go.
There's no doubt.
So
I don't blame Dylan at all. And I'm one of the biggest supporters of Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Even through the bad times last year, I never got on him.
Yeah.
He gave everything he had. A great kid. He's exactly what you want your college player to be.
Yes.
He's not controversial. He does what he's supposed to do. He's humble. He takes criticism when he should. He doesn't ever deflect it on anybody else. He goes to class. He's just a superhuman kid. He is.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's not just me. It's everybody who's around him, who's dealt with him. No one has a bad word to say about him.
Yep. Absolutely.
And because of the circumstances, you don't have him for 3 years. You don't get him for 3 years.
And now it's just piss on you fans, you know?
Yeah, so. And that's one of the things, you know, with Mayfield that made him special at OU. He played 3 years.
Yeah.
He was there 3 years. I never got to where I loved Kyler Murray because he was only there 1 year.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, because, you know, he sat a year and then he had Mayfield ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
So he only got to play 1 year and bam, he went to the pros. And again, you can't blame him for that. I don't know where it's going. It's not good.
I think Dennis makes a point here. He said, when Rick Pitino joined Louisville, Kentucky fans called him the devil. And of course he had that, reputation of maybe squirting the rules a little bit. Let's say
he was shady.
We were talking about, or I was listening, I should say, to our boys over at Sooner Scoop, and Kerry Murdoch made a good point. He said, I was watching Kansas and Kentucky play John Calipari and Bill Self, two villains of college basketball, as far as maybe they're cheating a little bit to get good players. He said, the odd thing about it is those kind of characters, that'll never be a thing again because you can do whatever you want. There isn't any rules against what they may have done when there was rules, right? Yeah. He said, so I literally got a weird feeling. He said, I've covered college athletics forever. Obviously he has. And I'm looking at the last two villains of college basketball.
Yeah.
There won't be villains for that reason ever again.
Not for cheating. No.
Yeah. So pretty interesting.
Yeah. Here's another thing too. NIL is for all sports, mm-hmm. but we're only talking about football.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Wonder why. Oh, I think I know.
Yep.
That's where the money's made. And these universities don't care. They don't care as long as the money is coming in. They're not going to do a dadgum thing about it because they don't care.
Correct.
They don't care. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is the money. If the money continues to come in, guys, do whatever you want. You just keep winning. Just keep winning. You do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. As long as we're winning and you're making enough money with the football program to cover all of the other sports, they don't really care about anything else. And that's what it is.
That's what it's all about. These
college presidents are a joke. All they are fundraisers. That's it. They have no idea what's going on in the university. They don't have any idea. They don't care. They're out schmoozing around with the donors to get all the money they can get. That's what their job is.
To maybe a lesser degree, because the athletic director does have to make staff decisions, but also the athletic director, he or she is kind of a fundraiser as well.
He's a front man. That's what he is.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I do have good news. Do you want me to tell you some good news?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I have started off our best bets tonight with a win.
Great.
Charlestown race one, Divine Fashion does get it done. 7-5 morning line goes off at 4-5 and wins. So we're one for one to start the night.
All right.
Good.
That's good.
I went to Charlestown. Let's see, paid $380. So that's $90 for us. Good job. I went to Charlestown. Magic went to Penn National.
Wow. We were scraping the bottom of the barrel today.
We couldn't find shit. And I texted him. I said, I know Aqueduct and Gulfstream are running. I just feel like this horse of Penn National is where I need to go. And he's like, horse of Charlestown is where I need to go. And he goes, well, I've got one of Penn National, so we're seeing it kind of the same as far as the bigger tracks. So
wait a minute. It all pays the same.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No matter what track it is, it all pays or you all lose.
Our theory is when you go to Charlestown, you go to Penn National, you go in knowing the quality of horse is a little bit lesser than what you could bet if you're at Gulfstream. So
yeah. But if you hit a big one at Will Rogers, it's going to pay the same as if you hit a big one somewhere else.
Absolutely.
May not pay near as much because there's not as much money in the pool, but still, that's what a lot of people understand. They think they have to bet Saratoga, or they think they have to bet Del Mar when you can make money at Los Alamitos.
No, absolutely. I think some people do understand that. Dennis, I was freaking out the whole time we were talking. I was watching these odds because Dennis told me, he said, oh, you went to Charlestown, that horse will be 1-9. The horse was 1-9 for a long time, went to 1-5. And I had told Dennis this morning, I said, you're crazy because he's not the morning line favorite. And there's a horse in the race that beat him last time out. So I think we'll get, 6-5 even money. Well, we didn't get that. We did get 4-5, but I was sweating out. I was having to tell Dennis, you were right. I was really dumb for going there. And I felt dumb until about 1 minute before the race. I don't know if you were watching, Dennis, but about a minute before the race, he jumped up from like 1-5 to 4-5. Really strange. But anyway, that's racing for you. So,
Rob is making some really good points here.
So Rob's talking about, number one, Rob's talking about how the bowls are corrupt. And I agree 1,000%. Rob, this is so weird because we just talked about this. Do you remember? It was on the drive home from the last football game.
Yeah.
I said, do you remember when you would go to those bowl games and you'd be like, shit, like 6 of our guys failed all their classes and they're not eligible to play in the bowls?
Yeah.
You never see that anymore, do you?
No.
Never. Now watch, 3 of our guys are going to flunk out and not play in the bowl, but
no way.
You never see it. And that goes to what we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced these kids are really like in the real classes.
No. So. I don't even know. When Stoops was there, and I'm sure at other places, they were required to go to a study hall every night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even hear anybody talk about that anymore.
No.
Every night they had to go to a study hall. I think it was like 2 hours, 7-9, 6-8. Whatever, because they actually had classes and schoolwork that they had to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't go to study hall, they were suspended. They did not play that week or they skipped a class. You don't ever hear that anymore either, do you?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You don't ever hear that anymore.
Nope.
So, oh boy, here we go. Dennis has got a good one here.
Dennis says, I'm sorry. I love Lamar. Talk about Lamar Jackson, but damn, he sounds so dumb. There's no way, in my opinion, he was smart enough to make it in the classes. That's a specific shot. Oh, I don't like
God, that's unbelievable.
I think there's a lot of players out there that you could say that for. Now, some absolutely you could say the opposite for sure.
Remember when you used to hear too, he doesn't qualify, so he's going to have to go to a JUCO.
When's
the last time you heard? Well, we're having trouble getting this guy in. We may have to send him to a JUCO to get his grades up. So I haven't heard that in a long time either.
Years. It's been years since I've heard that. Yeah. Well, I remember because there's a JUCO about what is that? About 45 minutes from the house here, your house not as well now. NEOA&M, Northeastern Oklahoma A&M, and you would like go look at their roster and be like, holy shit, they've got studs. And like, you know, this kid would go to Oregon and this three would go to Oklahoma and Missouri's got one. And now it's like, you never see an NEOA and M player ever anywhere.
No.
And I think it's because of what you said. The schools were like, well, why the hell are we sending him to Northeast Oklahoma A&M?
We'll get him our
standards. He's going to do the same shit there that he could do here.
That's right. We'll get him in. We'll get him tutored. We'll put him in badminton and tennis and bowling. We'll keep him eligible.
But when you think about it, why wouldn't they do that?
I don't know. We'll have a major in African American studies. What the heck is that?
You know, and a lot of times that's their major. I have no idea what it is. It's their
major. I'd like to know what that is.
But when you look at the program, that is what their majors are. A lot of
what
players.
What is that?
I don't know. I don't know either. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. You don't see a lot of, hey, we're filtering them out to the JUCOs. They'll go 2 years, and then they can come up here. No, they just go there immediately. So, seriously, when's the last time you've heard? Oh, well, that's not fair, because every once in a while you do hear of a JUCO player, but that's not a thing anymore. I remember even like first of the Stoops era, there was a JUCO out in San Francisco, and for the life of me, I don't know what the name of it is now. Because we haven't had a player, but like every year they'd be like, I think it was San Francisco College, maybe.
I think it was City College or something.
San Francisco City College, something like that. Oh, you'd get like two or three defensive players every year from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, damn, these guys are good, you know?
Yeah.
You just don't see that now. So,
well, Dennis makes another good point here. In a way, we were talking about this too. They know who the professors to put these kids, if they actually are in a class.
Right.
They know which professors to put them in.
For sure. Yeah. And we talked about that too. And I told you the same thing. I said, even as a regular student, once you're at the school for a year or so and you understand the lay of the land and maybe you meet a couple of upperclassmen that you trust, maybe you get an advisor that you can really trust, you know who to go to for those classes.
Yeah, you know which
class. There'll be two or three teachers that teach this subject. This guy here is a dick and he tries to fail you. Here's one here where he's going to make you work, but he ain't going to fail you. And then here's one here where you can dick off the whole semester and get a B. Okay, well, what am I choosing? Well, these people at these universities know where.
Here to learn.
If you got an athlete who just needs to pass, well, this is the person he needs to take. He or she even needs to take.
We gave him tickets on the 50-yard line. I mean,
I mean, that's the thing, though. I mean, listen, if I was a college professor, I would pass all the athletes. I wouldn't make them come to class. I wouldn't. That's the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I could never do what you did for a living, because if a teacher came to me and said, hey, one of your players is failing, I said, what do you want me to do about it? I don't give a shit. I fail every class. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean?
That's kind of what they said, too.
I'm the basketball coach. I'm the football coach. That's why I could never do it, you know? And also, I would murder someone.
Oh, boy. You know, it's trickled down to the high school, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Grades don't mean anything anymore.
Not really. No.
No.
It's
really a mess.
Well, and we don't need to go down that road, but
no.
College doesn't really mean what it used to mean either.
No.
And Rob, I don't know how old you are, Rob, but I'm 40 years old, and when I was in high school, you had to achieve a certain grade point average. Or an ACT score to get into most colleges, you know, unless you wanted to go to the JUCOs, right? We talked about with all the athletes, but you had to achieve that.
I'm not going to say that. Go ahead.
You kind of had to do things in a very proper manner, or you might not get into college. That is not the case. You can go to college. That's not getting. And now some colleges, obviously, but most state colleges you can go to, you know.
I'll tell you a quick story about a JUCO.
Now, hold on. Is this a bad story?
No. Okay. This is an experience I had.
All right.
We have another JUCO. Crowder College, which is close to us as well.
So Crowder College has produced Major League Baseball players in the past. But
They used to have a they used to have basketball down there too that produced a couple of pro players that played at the University of Arkansas back in the 80s. They don't have it there anymore. Anyway, so I changed jobs and I was going to be teaching social studies. So I had to get another class to get get certified to teach social studies. Well, I lived within about 20 minutes of Crowder College. It didn't matter where I went to get it, as long as it was a basic class I had to take. So I signed up for that class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was in the summer. It was like 7:30 in the morning. I was dreading it. And I drove over there and no kidding, I had the best teacher I ever had in my life. It was just the best teacher. He was fantastic. I learned mm-hmm. more American history than I ever learned anywhere else in that class. Yeah. And I got to where I didn't mind going. So anyway, I'm sitting in there and there's a few of us that are older. I was about 30 maybe then. I don't know, close to 30 when I went. So I'm sitting in there and there's probably about 30 kids in there or 30 people in there. And there's about six of us that are adults and the rest of them are college students. So I'm sitting up in the front of the row, which I never did. But anyway, the college students beat me to the seats, you know, so I had to sit in the front. Anyway, so I was really interested in this stuff and it was really good. So we take a test. Okay. And so he hands back and I did good on it because it was really, he was really good. He gave me notes. He said, underline everything that I tell you to underline, go home and study it. And mm-hmm. everything, all that'll be on the test. Mm-hmm. And if I don't tell you, it won't be on the test. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, I'm not stupid. I figured that out. So anyway, I get like a 98 out of 100. So the guy behind me sees my score. Okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't see his paper. So anyway, after class, he's like, I'd say he's about 19 years old. He goes, hey, I saw what you made on that test. He goes, how'd you do it? I said, yeah, how'd you do it? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, Can you take me over to the library for a minute? He was a soccer player. He said, can you take me over to the library and help me? And I said, okay. So I said, what'd you make? I made 23. He made 23 out of 100. 23. I said, you made 23? Yeah. I said, what are you doing here?
When and the answers were underlined in the note, like there was no surprises. Yeah.
I said, what are you doing here? Do you listen?
Yeah.
No. I said, did you underline the notes? What do you mean? I said, he hands out these worksheets. He hands out these notes, these notes every day. He gives you these things. He goes over this and he tells you to underline it. Did you do that? Is that what that was for? I'm serious. The kid knew absolutely nothing about studying. Absolutely nothing. Okay. That's your JUCO. And so I sat down with him and I started going over. So he didn't know a thing. He didn't know anything. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I got him up to maybe 45. That was his top score, but he probably passed. But anyway, it's just I got my eyes open pretty quick. Some of those guys. So when I class ended, I went up to him and I said, I really enjoyed this class. He goes, yeah, I enjoyed having you in here, blah, blah, blah. And I said, the best teacher I've ever had. And I have a college degree and I have extra hours, you know, above my college degree. I said, what are you doing here?
Right. Yeah.
He goes, oh, hell. He goes, I just do this as a sideline. I got a 180 acre farm out here. So that's where I make all my money. Oh my God.
Anyway. I love it. No, that happens in a lot of schools, I would say now, you know. It's crazy. I wonder how the school down in Mississippi is doing. Oh, that JUCO that got featured on Netflix. The Netflix show.
Guys, if you've never seen that, I've said this 100 times on this show, and you have Netflix, go watch Last Chance you and watch the first two seasons at East Mississippi Community College, and you're going to laugh your ass off. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
I just wonder if they still get those players or what's going on there. I haven't checked up on that in a long time.
I think the JUCOs have really been hurt by all these new rules. I really do.
Well, I think the transfer portal also hurts JUCO transfers as well. All right. Anything else before we get off here?
No, I think we've had another wonderful day. We've had another wonderful bitch session.
That's what this has turned into the last few weeks, is just us upset about stuff. So,
and I've taken on a little. What's happened is we had a little incident at the school I used to teach, and they had to let a teacher go.
Let's tell that story, because it's a good one.
Well, okay, so I've been doing a little subbing up there, substitute teaching, and I do a couple days a week, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Still hate it, but it's fine. Anyway, so I get a call the other day from the principal, and I missed the call. So I called him back. Anyway, long story short, I finally got a hold of him, and he starts, I thought I might have been in trouble because I'd subbed the day before.
And you're getting a call on a Saturday, so you're like, oh, shit. What did I do?
Yeah, when the principal freaking calls you after you've been up there seven, you say,
listen, before you go on, the good news is you're just a sub, so what can they really do?
Yeah, they couldn't fire me or anything, but
yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, what did I do? Who did I piss off? Blah, blah, blah. Why would he be calling me? You know, you always think bad things. And so I called him back after I missed the call. And he never called me back. It was on a Friday night. He never called me back.
Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't think too much of it. I thought, well, maybe he's wanting something else. I don't know. Because I thought if I'd done something bad, he was going to call me. He would have called me back. He never did. So Saturday, while we were doing the show, he called me again. And I missed the call, of course, because we were doing the show. So I called him back. And I got a hold of him, and he starts smoozing around with me. And I said, okay, he said, hey, what are you doing today? You know, I'm going to watch college football. Hey, I am too. You know, okay. I said, cut to the chase. What do you want?
Yeah.
And so this guy had, he slapped a kid.
the basketball coach slapped
a kid in the locker room at a game, which is a no-no.
I would think. Yeah, that's bad.
So, but I didn't know any of this. I didn't know any of this. So he goes, I need a permanent substitute to teach PE. I said, you mean? No, he said, I need a substitute teach PE till the end of the year.
Right.
I said, you mean Christmas? No, May. I said, I don't know that I want to commit to that. I said, PE, what is that? I mean, which one? Where's it at? He said it's at the high school and the middle school. And I said, basketball coaches? PE classes? Don't ask me. Don't ask me what happened. I can't tell you yet. And he said, but would you do it? I said, Zach, I can't. I can't commit for the whole year. I said, I'll come and help you out till Christmas. But then, you know, I don't know.
They clearly don't know the importance of your job here.
I do. That's why I'm really struggling with
not them. You. They at Circoxy. They don't understand.
And they still don't. I requested. I said, okay, I will do it for Christmas.
The problem, like, you're doing your job, you just have to do it at weird, like, way early in the morning.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care about that. So I told him, I said, okay, I got to have a computer.
Yeah.
You can't take your own. They won't let you bring your own. So I said, you got to get me a computer. I said, I got another job that I got to do early in the morning. And sometimes I can get it done. Like tomorrow, I'm going to struggle. And sometimes I can't. Mm-hmm. I still don't have the computer. And we're starting day four tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's PE. And you talk about a joke.
I can imagine. Yeah. I could imagine.
You know, you guys, some of you are, well, all of you are a lot younger than me, but probably when you were in school and you took PE and you played some kind of an activity, you took it pretty serious and you tried. Right?
Mm-hmm.
didn't, can you, I mean, all of us can remember some kickball games.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Some wiffle ball games, some three-on-three basketball games in PE, some flag football.
I liked PE. Yeah.
That was, you got after it.
For sure. Yeah.
I walk in the first day. I have five in my first class. So what do you do with five in PE? Not much.
Dick around. Yeah.
I know. So they're sitting up in the bleachers fully dressed. And I go up there and I said, okay. So I knew a couple of them. So I'm talking, I go, guys, you're not dressed out. It's because the other guy's not here. You got to dress out. What do you mean? Yeah. I said, your gym clothes. Oh, we don't do that.
What do they do? What are you doing with them? Nothing.
They just wear their clothes.
But what are they? That's like, we did that in like elementary school. You know, we just like, we get the scooters out, but we'd keep, you know, like we'd wear our regular clothes.
Well, so what? Do they. And by the way, who ever heard of a school that's only got two scooters? That's all I've found so far.
I know.
Scooters are fun. Anyway, and then here's a couple of kids that have boots on. I go, now you can't go down there on the gym floor with your boots. You'll scratch up the floor. Remember those days when you had to have tennis shoes to go down there?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, I wear them every day down there. I said, how can you play anything in cowboy boots? No, that's not a problem.
Well,
so they don't have to have tennis shoes.
So Dennis is younger than me and maybe some other in here. He says that's done. He said they wear normal clothes. So,
well, I found out. You want to know the reason?
No. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I don't know the reason. I want to know. Yeah.
The less you keep him out of the locker room area, you have a less chance of a fight, first of all. And you have the less chance of vaping.
Oh. Okay.
Which is the new thing.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah. Because it's hard for the PE teacher to be in the locker room and up in the gym at the same time.
What about Dennis's less bullying? Is that maybe a thing?
Right too, because they're right there. That's right.
Yeah,
right.
So yeah, I guess bullying, fighting, probably.
Yeah,
sort of, kind of the same thing. Yeah,
that and picking on each other because they're changing clothes, and you know what happens in that situation.
I do.
So that's part of it as well. And so they just don't mess with that anymore, which. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But I didn't know that was a thing, though. No. Yeah. I would have been shocked. Yeah.
Yeah. But wear some tennis shoes. You know, I'm having a little trouble with those boots out there on the gym floor. But
I'd probably just let them play on their phones. I don't know what you're going to do.
Didn't say I didn't do that.
Well, okay. Fair.
I've got some that they don't want to do anything. So I make them walk around the outside of the gym floor five times, which you would think that's killing them. Just have to walk around the gym floor five times.
Yeah.
And then they can go sit down and take a timeout.
That's fascinating for sure.
Oh, I tell you.
That's cool. That's my new job. It's almost over at least. We got another week, I guess. So.
Well, yeah. And I told them the other day, they go, it was yesterday. Well, how do you like this gig? Isn't this easy? I said, it is easy. Well, you're going to come back after Christmas, aren't you? I said, I don't know. I said, once you've tasted freedom.
Right.
I feel like a slave. I said, once you've tasted freedom, it's hard to go back. Right. I said, yes, this is easy. It's easy. It's easy money. I don't have a lot of stress. I definitely don't take it home with me. But I just don't know that I want to commit for it. I only go to school 4 days a week. And I get out early.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But it's still, you have to be there from a certain time to a certain time.
And there is some stress and some crap you have to put up with. Even
absolutely. So Rob says, decorate the house for Christmas. Rob, Papa Dude's house is decked out. It looks like the North Pole.
Rob, my wife.
She loves Christmas, you can tell.
And we have a new house.
It's amazing. Yeah.
She has gone all out more than ever and it was decorated. I put the Christmas tree up the earliest, and I like Christmas tea, but I put the Christmas tree up about the 12th of November, I think, in the house. Yeah. Oh, but that's the way it is. So
ours is too. We've got decorated. Yeah. Heather's got everything up and decorated.
We do like Christmas.
And, boy, our neighborhood is, gosh, it's really pretty. The lights are amazing. Yeah.
It's really nice. We went up the other night. Really pretty.
Very. All right. Anything else?
Fact, I didn't have to do this stupid job. I might take a little drive tonight, but the minute I get off of here, I'm starting in on what I'm supposed to do in the morning.
Yep. Absolutely. Rob said he put 100 feet of lights along the gutter. Whew,
I know. That's a lot of work, Rob.
Hey, what's your take on psychics?
Psychics?
Yeah.
You know what? I've seen a lot of them do some amazing stuff.
Okay.
That I cannot explain.
Okay. All right.
I'm like a magician.
Yep.
I've seen some, I don't know how they can predict, but some of them are pretty good. I've seen them like on TV, and they pick somebody out of the audience and they start answering all kinds of questions, and they've never met this person before. They get every one of them right. I don't know how they do it.
All right. Just wondering.
Why?
I just was wondering what your take on psychics, what it was.
Psychics, like somebody that can.
Right. Yeah. Heather's on a psychic kick. Heather's on a psychic kick right now.
So. Oh, she knows. She thinks she's psychic.
No. Okay. No.
Does she believe in them?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's visited a psychic. That was about a year and a half ago.
Oh, was that down in Hot Springs?
Uh-huh. Eureka Springs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she talked, her mom had a psychic over yesterday, and Heather FaceTimed in and talked to her. Yeah. Yeah. Just wondered what your thoughts were on them.
Well, I think those kind of people and illusionists like David Copperfield, those guys, I don't know how that works. I don't know. I've never understood a magician, how that all works. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. So Rob says he has a possession story he needs to post on YouTube. That's very interesting, Rob. I would listen to it for sure. I don't know if we're the right channel, but that is interesting.
We have a light in the laundry room that when you walk in the room, it comes on. What would you call it? A motion light?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Okay. About once a week, we're sitting watching TV and that light comes on.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Well, how do you explain that?
You're back to the haunting.
It'll come on like about once a week.
I don't know. Yeah. I think you need a psychic over there, and you need to tell her the peanut story, and you need to tell them about this light.
By the way, have you ever seen
this is incredible. I really want to know this, Rob. If Rob said I brought something bad home. Like, it is a very interesting one.
Rob, did you pick her up about midnight one night? Is that
Rob, this could go a lot of different ways.
You bring the wrong one home about midnight, bad things are going to happen to you. But you're going to be possessed, all right.
I'm not sure that's possession.
No, that causes everything. I mean, everything.
Okay.
Have you ever seen it? I thought this was odd, but I found out maybe it's not. We were talking to these little kids in there, and we're talking about stuff, and they were talking about stuff they eat and weird stuff. And this girl goes, I eat a cucumber like a banana. She doesn't peel it. She just starts biting the cucumber, doesn't slice it.
Yeah.
And then she says she eats a tomato like an apple.
That's very odd. That is very odd. Yeah. I don't know what that has to do with psychics and the paranormal, but
I know. He stayed out of town in some shady motels.
Well, I've done that before as well. I've never brought anything home, but I'm not saying you didn't. I'm interested to hear more.
I am too.
I did. The sickest I've ever been in my life was after staying in a really bad hotel. I will say that. But I don't think I was possessed. I think it was some kind of virus or something.
More than
he seriously thinks that something followed him home.
Really?
This is fascinating. This is probably better than anything we've talked about.
Still hadn't eliminated a woman, though.
South Park episode, Soul in the Turkey. Oh, my gosh. Well, on that note, we're getting out of here. No, listen. Last thing, and seriously, it's too sad. We got to get out of here. But the Super 8 in Hot Springs. Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've stayed in worse in hot springs. No, okay.
It's not the worst. Oh, yes, you have.
Yeah. But it's not great. And this was the last year we stayed there because it kind of really started going downhill. Long story short, there's a like a drive through big liquor store. Awesome liquor store. And the people that own the liquor store then bought the hotel. So like you would buy the liquor, like your liquor, like 11 p.m. that night, and then you'd go for breakfast at 8 a.m. It's the same guy like working the desk. It really was funny. But anyway, so we go down there and go, hey, how's it going? Anyway, Heather and Jared and I, all three, stayed at the Super 8, and we were sick for like 2 weeks, and we couldn't get over it, and we all three caught it there. I know we did. So.
There is no doubt you did.
Yeah. This thing made its presence known. Rob, way too deep to explain here. And okay, that's fine. But Rob, how did you get it to go away? Just answer that. And then we're going to get off the air. How did you get this thing to go away?
I'm not sure it is.
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Tell us, did you make it go away? And how did you do it? Or is it still with you, Rob? How about that? We're all hanging on here. We got to know this, and I have to.
I think we might have got Rob.
Maybe this isn't Rob talking right now. Maybe it's
worried about Rob.
What's that?
I'm worried about Rob.
I'm very worried about him. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Come on, Rob.
It made its move. I don't know what that means.
It made its move on me one
night. Oh, it made its move on me one night, Rob. You're making this up now. Come on. How did you get rid of it is the question. But maybe we don't want to know how you got
Rob,
rid of
where
it.
Did
more
you
about
stop
that.
By on the way home and how many have you drank?
It made its move on me. That is interesting. Wow.
Still haven't eliminated a woman followed him home. Or
no, absolutely not.
That's not done it yet.
Dennis is captivated as we are. Yeah. I think it's just Rob, Dennis, and us two left. So we're in a safe spot here. It's just like four guys talking at a bar now.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. All right. And here I thought this was gonna be a real short show.
Any you're gonna add anything, Rob?
He's got like 30 seconds, and then Wow.
Keep us interested. You got to come up with something in 30 seconds.
He's trying to think of the next thing.
I think he's making the whole thing up myself. But anyway,
I don't know. It's very odd because he's been on here forever and he's never said anything like
no.
I don't think he's making it up.
If he's not making it up, he's obviously creeped out by it.
For sure. Dennis, is, the silence is a problem, Dennis. Dennis thinks he might be dead. I'm worried. Oh, okay. Well,
I think he. Come on, Rob.
I think he's dead. All right. Well, we lost Rob.
Come on.
We lost Rob. All right. We're gonna get off here. We've got to go. All right. A story for another day. Maybe the whole show. We'll dedicate it to Rob next time. We'll see what happens.
We may have to.
All right. Well, we're gonna get off of here. Rob is dead. It was good to talk to everybody tonight. We'll see you back here. At least I will for Dudes Who Bet daily tomorrow.
Then. I'll be back Saturday.
Yeah, Papa Dude will be back Saturday, Sunday for that.
Yep.
Guys, have a good rest of your Thursday. It's been fun here, but we got to get out of here. Everybody have a good rest of your day, and we will see you right back here next week for more Dudes Who Bet Sports.
This is Dudes Who Bet Sports. Dudes Who Bet Sports. It's your favorite show. Dudes Who Bet Sports, where degenerates go. Dudes Who Bet Sports. Time to change your approach with Aaron Holdeman. and is Follow the Coach. Let's ride.
Well, the Associated Press is full of shit.